servant of God, Elizabeth of Austria, widow, third order. In 1554, there was born to the German Emperor Maximilian II a daughter whose name was Elizabeth. Like her holy patron, Elizabeth of Hungary, she was destined to be an honor to her house and to the third order. At an early age, Elizabeth manifested tender sympathy for the needy, such piety that she would sometimes arise at night and spend several hours on her knees in prayer. When she was only 15, she was married to King Charles IX of France, but her husband died within 4 years after their marriage. The 19-year-old widow now returned to Vienna. She resolved not to marry again, but to devote her life to the service of God and to godly deeds. She publicly entered the Third Order of St. Francis and gave the tertiaries of Vienna a most edifying example. Dressed in the plainest garment, so as to escape all notice, she visited churches and took part in processions and other devotions. At home, she had much time for prayer, observed rigorous fasts, and avoided all public amusements. She took much pleasure in serving the sick in the hospitals. She also visited the homes of the city in search of the poor sick and provided them with medicine and other supplies. To many of these people, her kindness and cordial service gave even greater comfort than the corporal aid she rendered them. Occasionally, she invited poor people to dine at her home, and where she had herself sat down at table with them, especially on Thursdays, when she would prepare a plentiful table for poor people in honor of the Last Supper. In the spirit of humility, she often performed the lowliest duties in the convent of Poor Clares, which she had founded, often cooking the meals for the poor there. She was much interested in the upkeep of the churches, but she was even more concerned about having worthy priests to conduct the services and attend to the care of souls. She loved to help talented young men pursue their studies and get a good education in preparation for the sacred ministry. After accomplishing a great amount of good in the 20 years of her widowhood, she died in Vienna in 1592. To the great sorrow of the entire imperial city, the humble queen had chosen the following text from the Office of the Dead as her epitaph. "Since I sin daily and yet do not do penance, the fear of death disturbs me. As in hell there is no redemption, have mercy on me, O God, and save me." Several miracles have occurred at her tomb. On solicitude for good priests, 1. Among the many good works undertaken by the servant of God, Elizabeth, surely the noblest and the best was her solicitude for good priests. What a blessing a good priest is for a Christian community. When a priest celebrates, says Thomas a Kempis, he honors God, he rejoices the angels, he edifies the church, he helps the living, he obtains rest for the dead. What amount of good a priest does in his sacerdotal activities. He's the educator of youth, the counselor of adults, the savior of sinners, the comfort of the sick and the dying. Those who provide the church with a good priest have a share in all these blessings. Have you ever paused to consider what opportunities you have to help young men to reach the goal of the priesthood? 2, consider how we can provide for good priests. Parents can provide their sons with the education needed for the clerical state. Brothers and sisters can cooperate in this great charity. Of course, no parents may compel a son to embrace the priesthood or persuade him by the promise of worldly advantages. Such a boy might easily prove to be a hireling or even a wolf to the flock of Christ, and then woe to the one who misled him. But to consent that a son may follow his vocation and to make sacrifices that he may achieve his goal is a highly meritorious work. Perhaps we can contribute to the education of young men who wish to become priests. All of us can at least pray for good priests. For the former Ember Days, we can substitute others to obtain good priests for God by means of penance, fasting, and prayer. What Holy Scripture says about the need of priests is applicable to our times as well. The harvest indeed is great, but the laborers are few. Matthew 9:37. Have you done your duty in the past in regard to this matter? 3, consider that our solicitude for good priests should manifest itself in a special way by supporting them in their activities. We should gladly follow their advice, cheerfully contribute to the good works they promote, help establish also their influence. It is only when good Catholics give them this cooperation that priests can hope to labor with success. Do not criticize what they say, even if it does not always suit you. They are ambassadors of Christ, and through them God exhorts the faithful. Beware of undermining their influence and of giving them a bad name. That would burden you with a dreadful responsibility. Often pray that God may keep the priests of his church free from scandal and he may bless their activities. Let us pray. Let your constant pity, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church, and since without you we cannot abide in safety, may we ever be governed by your grace through Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you.